to build your faith? Do you desire to have a true encounter with God through His Word? Then listen to Logos Rhema Hour with Reverend Dr. Joseph Baobin, Head Pastor of Harvest Chapel International, Kumasi. He is a seasoned man of God and a teacher of the Word in its truth and simplicity. Make time with us each and every Monday to Friday at 2 p.m. on Spirit 88.3 FM as we encounter the Word of Truth. God richly bless you. Welcome to Logos Rhema Hour with God's servant, Reverend Dr. Joseph Baobin, Head Pastor of Harvest Chapel International, Kumasi. And now, to today's message.
Let's take our confession, Joshua 1 verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but I shall meditate in it day and night, that I may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then I will make my way prosperous, and then I will have good success. Amen.
Once again, just open your Bibles with me to the book of Acts, chapter number 1. As we continue our discourses on fellowship with prayer. Fellowship with prayer. And we've been talking about the subject of prayer. And let's learn a few. Essentially, I'm just going to recap once again. Just try and recap and not be in a rush to leave. We'll just stay there in Acts chapter 1 and pick some of the truths and maybe rephrase them, recap them, re-emphasize them. Hallelujah. So once again, we said we've been looking at the Apostle Luke's account of the extraordinary supernatural life of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We want to pick some of the lessons that we can learn about Jesus Christ from the accounts that St. Luke gives us, the portrait that he tries to paint. We have said it, is that one of a man on a mission and a man with a vision and a mission, a man that is full of the Holy Ghost, who lifestyle right from his virgin conception to his ascension was characterized by the presence, the brooding, hovering presence of the Holy Ghost in his life. And because he was on the life, or he had a vision from God and was here on earth for a mission, we see literally how he, if you like, positioned himself to undertake that assignment so that we can also learn. Because ultimately the Bible tries to encourage us to imitate the lifestyle of Jesus Christ. So we know he was a very prayerful man. Luke will tell us later on that Peter had summarized his life to the Cornelius and his household, that Roman centurion, that how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good, bringing healing, bringing deliverance to the oppressed, and the fact that he was able to undertake his assignment because God was with him. Hallelujah. Amen. And so I've titled tonight's talk, Principles for an Effective Prayer Fellowship. So let's pick some principles from the text that we've been going over and over. So let's talk about some of the principles that, as I said, the Apostle Luke is trying to paint a certain portrait of Jesus for us so that we can be able to wrap our minds around it and then try and imitate it, if only we hope to be able to fulfill our assignment. Remember, we are coming from a place where when he ended the first treatise, or the book of Luke, to Honorable Theophilus, he made mention of something that Jesus left them with, the fact that he was counting on them and he's also counting on us to be his witnesses. He said, ye are my witnesses, proofs that there is life after death, and that when you die, you don't enter into oblivion. Hallelujah. He said, ye are my witnesses. Hallelujah. Amen. And then he goes on in the book of Acts to capture how this translated in the life of these witnesses or disciples. That's why it's called the Acts of the Apostles, or he styles it the Acts of the Apostles. They went out there as Jesus had commissioned them, that ye are my disciples. Go out there. You have infallible proofs that I am alive to tell you just what I kept on telling you, that when you die, that is not it. There is a second life to live. Amen. Or the second chapter of one life to live. And that we will all stand and appear before him as the ultimate judge of all humankind. And that you must of a necessity live purposeful lives. Hallelujah. Meaningful lives. So let's go again. So verse 1 says that the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Underline it, both to do and teach. And God wants us equally to go out there as his chosen disciples, both to do and teach. Amen. Amen. Both to do and teach. But then it all begins. So that's the principle number one. For an effective prayerful life or an effective prayerful fellowship, we must learn about the Jesus story so we can do and teach. Do and teach. The thing about doing it is that it gives you much more confidence to teach. If you teach and you don't do it, because in doing it, you get to the opportunity to validate it. If you are not doing it, you can't teach. If you as a parent, you are not doing it, you can't teach your children. As a pastor, you are not doing it, you can't teach the congregation. As that wing leader, you are not doing it, you can't teach anybody. You can't impact anybody. Because you lack validation. You have not been able to have proofs of it. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And you see, sometimes we think that, you see, what we do is that we compartmentalize the gospel message or the Jesus story on our own. And then, I like this one, the prayer lifestyle. I like his fasting lifestyle. I like his teaching. I like his miraculous lifestyle. I like, you know, but no. Immediately you do that, then you are missing the whole thing. It's one big lump sum of a lifetime or a life story that has been packaged for us. So you can't pick and choose. Amen. Amen. That is why we must, of a necessity, be familiar with the entire Jesus story. You and I are going to be able to have, if you like, robust prayer lives and effective prayerful lifestyles. It begins with getting familiar with the Jesus story, because therein we'll have it all captured for us. Hallelujah. Amen. So, Dr. Luke, not just Luke, and so, but all the other apostles who knew him, they have documented for our learning and admonition the essentials of his entire life. That's why you must read it. They have told us about his birth, his life and ministry, his death, his resurrection and ascension back to heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. And we need to be familiar with it. Hallelujah. All we need to know, hallelujah, about Jesus Christ, that will bring us into, if you like, living faith and trust in Jesus. The story of Jesus that they try to paint, they are telling us a certain story. And it has an end point to bring us all to living faith and to put our trust in Jesus. Why? Because it says that he is the one that has been appointed to judge the living and the dead. The whole idea of the Gospels is that, look, man, you and I, let's not try that we will die in this world without Jesus and go and stand before Jesus Christ to be judged. That would be catastrophic, because the wrath of God will definitely be visited upon those who do not put their trust in Jesus. That's the Bible story. That's the gospel. The good news is that if you and I, we believe the story that they have penned down for us, and we allow that story, you see, we must approach it. It says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the word of God. So we must approach our reading, you know, with an open mind and with a searching heart, that we want to find Jesus Christ. We have heard the story, but we want to investigate and find it for ourselves. We want living proof that indeed the story about Jesus, it is true. So we can put our faith and our trust in him. So we can be dependent on him. Hallelujah. Amen. And so we have sufficient information in the word, as I'm saying, to grant us living faith and trust in Jesus. All the grace that we need, they are documented for us to be able to get to that point. The power. And once again, Jesus Christ came to demonstrate how God wants us to live. And you realize that we must, of a necessity, demonstrate divine power as children of God. It is needful. Like we always say, we need the charismatic gifts and then the character gifts of the Holy Ghost to be able to successfully, if you like, fulfill our life purposes and the assignment that God has for us. You need power. So how did Jesus come into this power? Later on, Luke will document that the anointing. How do we get the anointing of the Holy Ghost? Then you know that you must get into fellowship with him. How can we sustain it? We must live dependent on God and not fall into sin. As for temptation, they will come, but we must not succumb like Jesus, so that the anointing of God can come upon our lives. So we need grace, the grace of God that he has procured for us. We need power, the resources needed to imitate his lifestyle in a skeptical and often cynical generation. Because people will laugh at you. He said that, look, guys, you know something? If they persecuted the master, they will persecute you. If they insulted me, they will insult you. If they kicked me out of their, if you like, social circles, etc., and then literally hounded him and then put false charges upon him and then had the Roman government crucifying him, he said they will do the same thing to you. So if you are living your life in such that your Christian lifestyle, it is so cozy and so acceptable for your friends and family and loved ones who are not living the same, then you must check it. Then you are not in proper fellowship. Amen. But if you want to imitate Jesus Christ and live the lifestyle that he has left for us, that he's teaching us, he said all the things that they did to him, he said they will do it to you. Hallelujah. Amen. Christ-likeness, the next point I make, Christ-likeness can only begin when we make time and effort to learn from and learn about Jesus Christ, as has been captured in the Gospels for us, from these eyewitnesses who lived and worked with him. Amen. The time and the effort. That is where a lot of us fall short. The time and then the effort. I don't have time. We don't do our quiet time. We don't read our Bibles. We don't come to fellowship. When the prayer meetings are called, we don't come. When the Bible studies are called, we don't come. We have all legitimate excuses why we cannot be within the body of the fellowship, why we cannot be a part of these special, if you like, packages that God uses to equip us and to resource us so we can be able to be strong and defy the age and live victoriously for Jesus Christ. The very tools and the very resources that he has given us, that is what we like neglecting. And then which one? The social part. No, it doesn't empower you. So most often we go to the place of prayer, we kneel, and then the distractions will come. As for Satan, is ready, because he knows. He knows those of us who are reading our Bible. He knows those of us who when we bind some of his demons, they flee. Rebo Shekende Kabaya. Remember, the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. At the mention of the name, we know about Acts 19, St. Luke will tell us, the sons of Sceva. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But who are you? So you want to bind, and then he's like, who are you? Who are you? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So we rather fixate on the minors. Yes, God wants us to come together, share our lives, come into fellowship. But there are essential pillars of the faith that helps us grow. There's a vision, there's a mission. That's why he equips us. And he expects us to go out there. He said, ye are my witnesses. Go out there. Make disciples of all nations. Tell them about my coming. Tell them about the offer of pardon, forgiveness, reconciliation, of resurrection, and then judgment, upcoming judgment. Tell them so that they can all accept together the olive branch of peace with our God. Hallelujah. Amen. Then the next point that I want to, yes, is the fact that just linking it up with Jesus is coming, is the fact that over the ages, you read through the New Old Testament, and over, even now, it's still there. It's still prevalent. You don't even need to read through. Over the ages, humankind, we have complained to God. And when we are still complaining that we are struggling on how to live God-pleasing and honoring lives because we don't have living examples. Amen. That was a complaint of Israel of old. The people who were supposed to model Christ-likeness, they were not doing it. The nations around, Israel was supposed to be an example. They were not doing it. We come to our age. Pastors who are supposed, let me start with pastors. Pastors, we are supposed to live a model Christ-likeness. We are not doing it. Congregation, we are supposed to. That's why anytime a pastor falls, or the congregation are happy. And they are happy. And then, so you see, pastor has fallen. Oh, okay. If pastor has fallen, then I've quit church. Let me too, I'm going. Now you forget that the pastor may rise up again. Yes, if the pastor is a righteous man, God will lift him up again. God is merciful. God is merciful. He said a righteous man may fall how many times? 7 times. But grace! Come and lift it up. That's why every time when we're learning about Adam and Eve and we came to Genesis chapter 4, we made the point. God didn't abandon Adam and Eve because they sinned and they erred. Else, Eve, we will not have Eve having cause to name Cain and say, I have obtained him from the Lord. No, that's not God. He's so merciful. He's so compassionate. He says he forgives sins. So I believe that God forgave Adam, right? Even in the Garden of Eden, we saw it. When he clothed them, with animal skin after slaying innocent animals to pacify his anger. Hallelujah. So congregation is saying that, look, if your pastors will fall, you must stand. Say a big amen. Amen. Before I became a pastor, I understood these truths. I wasn't reading or studying the Bible or trying to imitate Jesus Christ because I was called a pastor. No. After being born again, the understanding is that, look, you are alone. You will stand alone before God. He said, imitate, Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So who is that Christ that I'm supposed to imitate? You don't know anything about that Christ. You don't know anything about his lifestyle. So how are you imitating him? You are looking at your past. You will fall. If he falls, you fall with him. This one, I don't want you to say amen. Maybe you should say, God forbid. Ah. Rise up! Rise up! Rise up and stand! And stop following the radio news. And they said this pastor has done this. This one has done this. And so therefore, I'm not. I saw in Christ, Magi, because there is no role model. And then Eddie, what is a pastor? You are say. You see a kind. And then me, they me have me grand master. Me da femo. Oma musi umu jirijara. Nina aba me kame ho. Hallelujah. Amen. So Jesus' coming was to answer that, you know. The complaint of humankind is that there are no living true models of the truths of God. So God said, no, guys, I'm going to come in there and model these truths for you. It's part of the incarnation, the reason why Jesus came. Yes, the main one was to be the perfect sacrifice and Lamb of God to pacify the wrath and anger, but was also to demonstrate how to live God-honoring life. So the Jesus story is so key. And he himself says that the scriptures, they are spirit and they are life. As you are reading, he said, faith comes by hearing. And there's a certain can do it, I can do it spirit, that from nowhere it will enter into you. He rose up early in the morning to pray. Oh, I can also rise up. Jesus, our master, he found it needful that early in the morning, before sunrise, he rise up and go to a secret place and pray. I will do it. Hallelujah. Amen. So it's a myth. It's not true that no human being can live in the 21st century and be unable to live out the truths of the word of God. Hallelujah. Jesus came, he demonstrated it to us. And not just him. We saw that he handpicked some disciples and modeled these truths to them. He began to do and to teach. To do and to teach. And that was setting the pattern to do and to teach. And Peter did and taught. And John did it and taught it. And all the other apostles, they did it and taught it. Apostle Paul, the latter day, he is a latter day apostle. He did it and he taught it. The apostle Jude, Luke, who is recording, they all did it and taught it. Amen. Including the prayer, which is our focus for the man, because you won't be able to do it and teach it if you are not prayerful. But it all begins, as we said, and all these things, they are in the word. How to pray and be effective in your prayer and life and intercession. They are all in the word. So the word, the Holy Scriptures or the living word, is so key to being able to imitate the life of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So when he came into our world, he lived and taught it out to the few hand-picked disciples, so they could also live it and teach it to the next generation of faithful and committed men and women who would then look for yet another batch of faithful and committed men and women for the next generation until the day that Satan will be completely overthrown and we will be ushered into chapter number 2 of our lives. I hope you are getting it. So you are pastor, you are not doing it. How are you going to instruct it? Mommy, you are not doing it. How are you going to instruct the kids? They are watching you. Daddy, you are not doing it. How are you going to be able to instruct the kids? No, they won't take it. It's not doable. They will say, oh yeah, it's teachable, but it's not doable. But if it's not doable and you teach it, it lacks effectiveness. It lacks the cutting edge. And you lack the authority to instruct. So later on, sooner than later, you just shut up. And then the whole huge gap, the next generation, they didn't know the Lord. We know about the tragedy of Hophni and Phinehas and Eli. That's why God punished him. God said, I'll hold you responsible for what is happening and unfolding in the life of Hophni and Phinehas. He lacked the moral courage to discipline them. If you take the children to church, they will get to know Jesus Christ. Amen. But if you yourself, yeah, when it's Sunday, like a lackadaisical attitude, when it's time to pray, when it's time to come in early, so we can be a part of the Bible study, we can learn from each other. Amen. Hey, no, I always say this. I have been running ever since I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I have been running, maybe like David, as the deer panteth after the water, so my soul pants after him. I don't know. It wasn't when I was a pastor that I started running. When I got introduced, when I gave my life and the seal of the Holy Ghost, the chief resource of God, you just respond to the prompting. Get up, boy, and go to church! And I'm always running and coming to church with a certain, you know, air of expectation or expectancy, because I needed to defeat Satan and his cohorts. and in the power to be able to live victorious life. He needed the grace of God to sleep well. They say when you sleep, God will make a discharge ministering angels to keep watch over you. You know, things we used to read them in church. There was one prayer, four angels. How many of us remember? One at your bed, one at your head. Four angels that God will release that. One will be at your head, one will be here, one will be on the side. Hallelujah. And now you are being tormented by demons, and then, hey, you won't pray that God release those angels to come and keep watch over me. Hallelujah. So, generation to generation, very, very important. Very, very important. Until the lie of Satan is completely defeated and overthrown, that you can't live for God. No, it's a lie. You can, by the help, by the strength of the Holy Ghost. Jesus did it. He did it. He handed it over to Peter in the first generation. Disciples, they did it. They handed it over. That is how far it has come. Every generation, God will find faithful, will be able to identify faithful and trustworthy people to hand over the essentials of the gospel to, who will do it and teach it and hand it over. And if you are here and you want to be a part of that, you want to say a big amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So most, if just narrowing that. So Jesus in his life and ministry taught and practiced prayer. True or false? But I don't know. The Bible scholars, you help me. I struggle with this one here. Because if my memory serves me right, he practiced prayer more than teaching it. There are a few points outside when the disciples came and then, you know, asked him, you know, can you teach us how to pray just like John taught his disciples how to pray? There are few, and then the Sermon on the Mount, and then, you know, he gave those points about, you know, if you want to pray, go into your room, shut the door, and then pray to your Father who sees in secret, and then, you know, there are few. I don't know about you, whether my observation is right. Why? The discipline of prayer is better practice than taught. So that teaching, if you like, it was an enforced teaching from his disciples. That we see, we look at your prayer life, and maybe Ghana will say, it's a jet. Signs, wonders! Can you teach us how to pray? But in his regular discourses, because you say that's the thing, it's more doable than that. Practice more than teaching. Hallelujah. Amen. So he practiced prayer more than teaching it out. And that's what prompted one of his disciples making the request that he should teach them how to pray, just like John taught his disciples. So I believe that one of the take home or learning points about is here about the poor, that prayer has to be practiced more than taught. Prayer has to be practiced more because you learn it in undertaking the activity. And the best way to learn about the mysterious art of prayer is to get on your knees in humility and pray. That's all. Get on your knees and pray. You are reading the word, though. You are trying to find out. I'll now go through the scriptures and then try and track Jesus' teaching points on prayer. He wasn't teaching much, but he was praying much. Every dawn, every night, all night, he was praying. Demonstrating it to them that when it comes to prayer, get on your knees. Get on your knees. Get on your knees and pray. Humble your heart and tell God about your dependence on him. Daddy, we are depending on you. Without you, we can do nothing. You have said it in your word that you are an ever-present help in times of need. I find myself in this moment of need. Where are you? Where are you? Where are you? You want God to show up, you must cry out.
This broadcast was proudly sponsored by the friends and partners of Harvest Chapel International Kumasi. Thank you for listening to Local Shrema Hour with Reverend Dr. Joseph Baobi. We believe that as we act on this word, God's power will transform your life.